the tongue.
The taming of the tongue. And frustrations with taming the tongue. And but also that there is hope. So that's the good news, there's hope. So even though I feel like I really struggle, like maybe some of you might be struggling, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you this week felt like you said something that you regret? So anyway, if you do, you're in good company, because at least there's one other person here. Right, if you don't raise your hand, you're lying. All men and women are liars, so that means that we at least sin once with our tongue, according to that. So how many of you have heard this old saying that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Do they still say that in school these days? Yeah? The kids who are out there, or the young people out there. Well, is it true?
No.
Is it true that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt? Is it true that words don't really hurt?
Sticks and stones will heal, but the words may stick with you for a lifetime.
Yeah, what Chucky said is true, that while you may be hit and that wound can heal, of course there could still be an inner trauma, but oftentimes the things that hurt most are the wounds that we can't see and the scars that are invisible, which are in the interior, which come from people saying mean things with their words. You know, I mean, words have meaning, right? They're not just nothing. I mean, some of us have grown up hearing after we were hurt at school, on the playground, oh, it's just words, you know, just let it roll off your back. And, you know, I remember thinking, yeah, but I'm still thinking about it. And every time I think about it, I just can't stop thinking about it. And it goes around and around in my head, and I feel bad, you know? And so stuff that was said on the playground way back in second grade could still be an issue for us today, right? If we haven't gotten healing about it. So, you know, it's amazing that the human tongue has the power to make a kid believe they can do anything in the world that they set their minds to. You know, if you had a mom or a dad that said, you know what, you could do anything, even if you have a handicap or you have a challenge, but to just hear the words, you know, you can do anything. I mean, it's amazing, you know, that we have that power to bless people and even speak words of life. We've seen people getting healed from, like, being deaf and mute, just, you know, speaking God's word of life over them, and then all of a sudden they're speaking and hearing, or, you know, just some other, you know, like an inner, you know, heart issue going away or being healed just because of the power of love and speaking that in the name of Jesus. On the other hand, the tongue can be a lethal weapon, you know, as we've experienced, you know. Just think about it. I mean, what someone says can make another person die. Think about, like, what it can do, right? So, I know many of us have also experienced that a parent or somebody that we cared about or didn't care about, but say something so cruel, like about our body, about how they said we're ugly or how we're stupid or how we'll never amount to anything. And those words can really stick and actually like almost determine the course of our lives, right? It's just amazing that the power we have in the tongue. Like I said, the tongue can be a weapon of mass destruction. And that's how conflicts begin, you know? Conflicts that, you know, they begin there, and then relationships are hurt, destroyed, wars can even start, marriages can break up, friendships can be dissolved, all because of that. So what were our tongues meant to do, however? I mean, I've talked about what the negative things they can do, but what does anybody know in the Bible what our tongues were meant to be, what they were made for? There's several things. Just one word here and there. Yes?
Speak the gospel.
Right, speak the gospel. Yeah? Spread the good news, not the bad news. Spread the good news about the fact that God loves us, no matter what. What else were our tongues meant to do?
Praise God.
Praise God, like thank God and bless God. What else?
Encourage.
What else? How about like bring liberty to the weak, people who are in prison, like advocate, you know, like stand up for people who don't have a voice, so be a voice to the voiceless. That's a huge power that we have. And sometimes when we're silent, we can say, well, I didn't really, you know, I didn't do anything bad with my tongue. But if we hold back from doing what God has called us to do, which is to like, you know, free people or, you know, heal people or encourage somebody, then we're not really doing what our tongues were meant to do, right? So I'm just going to read you a few short proverbs. You don't have to look them up, but I'll just read them to you that kind of tell about the tongue. So it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Wow, death and life. That's like major, you know, death and life. Do you believe that? It's true. Like someone can say, yeah, that person, they're guilty. They're going on death row. They're going to die. Just because of what someone says, and even if it was false. Or like just last week, somebody said something about somebody I really care about, and it was like 100% false. You know, and it's like, wow, that person just, that's what's called bearing false witness, you know, like saying something that's not true. And it really had a negative effect because it went out and several people heard it and believed it or wondered, you know, if it was true. And maybe you've had that happen where someone said something false about you and like, what can you do? You can't really defend yourself, right? It's hard to. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Here's another one. There is one whose rash words are like knife stabs. It actually says sword thrust, but we'll just say knife stabs. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. All right. Have you ever felt that when someone says something that when you're really down, you're feeling like maybe you've been wounded by someone else's tongue, and then another person comes along and does the opposite, like they undo the damage that another person just did just by speaking words of life and love over you. Here's another one. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but a perverseness in it breaks the spirit. And here's James 3. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it brags of great things. A huge forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Think about just like one little cigarette in a dry forest and just poof, you know, the whole forest goes up. Right now in Natal Valley over there, there's like huge forest fires that are raging, I think, in other places around the world, just because someone's careless with a tiny little spark, right? And that's what our tongue is being compared to in the Bible. So like if we just, you know, let confidentiality slip about somebody's, you know, personal or intimate information or their story, just think about the damage they can cause just because we're not careful with our mouths. And it's like, if there's so much of a temptation to gossip, especially if you feel like that brings you closer to someone or gets you points with someone who would normally, or just like to have the information just to be in the know about something, you know, there's really a temptation to, you know, to gossip. Think about this. A rudder, you know what a rudder is? It's that thing that moves a ship or a boat. The rudder on a tanker is so small. Think about the size of a rudder on a huge tanker. Have you heard about the Exxon Valdez oil tanker? Remember that ship that went out to sea? What happened? How did it sink? How did the oil get spilled everywhere so that all the sea creatures in that area and tons of fish died, and it was horrible? How is it? What happened? Who was in control of the rudder?
The captain.
The captain who was drunk. Yeah, so like that, like I you know, it's interesting that that in James we see a similar, you know, we see some allusion to that. Let's look at James 3:2, and I didn't write it on the
page 1012.
Thank you, Mike. Got it quick. Page 1012, and I'm gonna read James 3:2. Says, for we all stumble in many ways. That's encouraging. That's a good way to start. We all stumble in many ways. Yeah. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect person. He or she is a perfect person, able to bridle his whole body. How many of us can say that we are a perfect person? None. Because we all stumble in many ways, right? If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they will obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. Also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, the word of unrighteousness. If the tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. All to say, this is depressing, right? Because it's like, wow, this is so dramatic about the tongue, you know, being so, so dangerous. So what can we do? What do we do? Well, just like with addiction, what do we do when we feel like we can't stop doing something? We just try harder, right? No, it doesn't work. We just like put a cork on it. We just duct tape our mouth so that we don't do that. Some of these like answers do not work. Like with any kind of addiction, you can't just like try, you know, like the power of positive thinking, think that you're just not gonna do that. It just doesn't work that way. So I feel like the problem with taming the tongue is like an addiction. You know, we really have to deal with it as an addiction. And just like stress is an addiction, we get addicted to the rush of the stress, which makes us work faster. It gives us kind of this feeling like, oh wow, I just accomplished so much, and I'll push the limits of studying to the last minute. You know, I was just crammed for this exam, and wow, but I passed it. Oh, but I mean, I think we get addicted to things that aren't necessarily substances, but they do the same kind of damage. You know, anger, stress, all these kind of things, and. So I think we have to deal with it in the same way. So what do we do to recover from an addiction? You know, if we're believers in God, what do we do? Do we just go to AA? Is that enough? Let's just go to like AA, just get together and have meetings about how bad we all do and say, I am a gossip. My name is Gracie, I am a liar. My name is Gracie, I am a... You know, does that help to get, I mean, maybe that's a first step, but really what we need is we need God's help. We really need God's help. And how do we help the situation? Well, I believe it's a heart issue. The tongue issue begins with the heart because it all starts there. Whatever's in the heart is going to flow out. So I'll read you from Luke 6:45. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Or there's another verse that says, as a person thinks in their heart, so that's how they are. So whatever's in our heart is going to come out naturally. So if we have like bitterness, anger, jealousy, frustration, jealousy, all these things in our heart, well, then that's just what's going to come out. And that sin is going to spill out under those people that, you know, hear us speaking. And then it just kind of gets passed down. Like maybe my mom... My grandmother did that to my mom, and she does that to me, and I do that to my daughter, and my daughter does it to her kids, and it's like it goes on and on, just like with other addictions, right? So a critical heart produces a critical tongue. A self-righteous heart produces a judgmental tongue, and a bitter heart produces a bitter tongue. An ungrateful heart produces a grumbling tongue. So the words you speak will all depend on what's filling your heart, right? So, on the other hand, if we let God show us what the problem is, Dr. God will come and heal it. And that's what I want to do right now, is I want to just take a moment and just really confess how we have not fulfilled the calling of our mouths, which is to be a blessing, or to be thankful, or to, you know, to encourage, or to, you know, let the prisoners go free, or to advocate for the weak, or any of these things. Let's let the Holy Spirit show us, and without shame, because God just wants to heal us so that we can make room, take out all that junk, which, by the way, we're told to get rid of it, like flush it down the toilet, just get rid of it, so that God can fill that those empty spaces now with his love. All right. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to dig in the gardens of our hearts, and to show us what the weeds are, what kind of weeds have been growing, what things we have allowed to just grow up and take over the good things that were planted by you in the gardens of our heart. You've planted a lot of good seeds that were intended to bear good fruit, And we've let a lot of what the enemy wanted to do just run over the good things in our garden. So show us what the bad weeds are, what the thorns are, or where we haven't watered the garden of our heart. We just let it be dry. Okay, there's a good remedy for the problem of the heart, and it's Psalm 51, which a lot of you probably already know. But I'm going to read it, and I'm going to have that be a prayer for us today. Psalm 51. So this is written by David, who is a man after God's own heart. That's what he made a lot of mistakes. I mean, he said a lot of dumb things that got people in trouble. He hurt his own family. He hurt his own, children who ended up doing a lot of bad things and causing problems. But the good thing about David was, again, he was a man after God's own heart. So when we're a person that is after God's heart, no matter what we've done, God heals us. Because you know what? All of us are sinners and we all need God. So it's not a thing to be ashamed about. It's just a thing to know, oh, wow, I need after God to heal my heart, right? So let's look at Psalm 51, and it's page 474. So you could read along and just make this be your prayer, or you could just listen and close your eyes. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my sins. Wash me thoroughly from my sin, and cleanse me. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inner being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And I'm just going to end with that. But you can finish the song on your own sometime, because the whole song is really nice. But especially this part, I just love. It just really speaks to me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Sometimes we get caught up with the spirit of whatever's around us, like we go to a party and there's a bad vibe there, you just can kind of pick up on it. Or say you go to visit your friend and they're just in such a bad space and you kind of pick up on that vibe and you go home and you're like, oh, I feel terrible. Then you kind of start acting as agitated and bothered in the same way. Well, I think on a daily basis, we need to just like we wash our hands, we need to ask God to wash our hearts of whatever slimed us in the day and start over, start over with a clean slate. So.
Can you lead us in a prayer doing that?
Yeah, let's do that again. Let's do that. So thank you, God, that you save us. We know that we need a Savior. Every day, every hour, we need you. And thank you, Jesus, that you took the consequences of our sin, of all the world, of my sin and everyone else, into your body, just so that I could be saved from just this addiction to sinning, whether it's with my tongue or whatever else, that you saved me, and that you give me the authority to be a daughter, to be a child of God. And so I just thank you for that. I thank you that you can make all things new. Right now, I just want to offer you my heart. And I know that it's dry. I know that I'm callous to things that I shouldn't just feel callous to. And I know that I get angry at stuff that's not even, there for no reason. I could just take offense and just imagine things that aren't even there. Or I could take offense at real things and just hold on to that and just get bitter. So I just clean me, God. Clean me from the inside out. And I just pray that you would set a guard over my mouth. Just set a guard over my mouth. Just show me Show me how to take my thoughts captive. I can not let bad thoughts just take root in my heart, but I can just, I can forgive people. So I'd like to invite you just to forgive people who maybe have sinned against you, and maybe you've reacted against the sin by sinning against somebody else. Right now, let's just forgive anybody who the Holy Spirit's showing us that we need to forgive. Remember, you don't have to feel like it, because forgiveness is a choice. And it doesn't matter if the other person maybe won't react in a good way, but just forgiving a person, or maybe we need to forgive ourselves. Maybe we feel so disappointed in ourselves for messing up. So let's extend a special forgiveness towards ourselves right now for messing up. For me, this last week, as I was writing this sermon, it was pretty ironic, because I knew I was going to be talking on it, and I felt like I had so many opportunities to bless, and instead I chose the wrong path. So God, forgive me for sinning in the way I speak to other people, and just for saying things that aren't hurtful even about myself. Forgive me in Jesus' name. Amen.